65. When you become a member during this campaign, you'll be automatically entered into a drawing to win a trip for two to London and a tour of the BBC studios. No donation is necessary to enter. Find out more at 800-248-8850 or WAMU.org.
Come fly with me. Let's fly away.
From WAMU 88.5 at American University in Washington, welcome to the Kojo Nandi Show, connecting your neighborhood with the world. Fitness trends come and go. Remember aerobics, rollerblades, and the Abominizer? Those fads may have faded out, but trendy new exercise programs and gyms are booming in our region, where you can find everything from extreme regimes like boot camp and solid core to elite fitness clubs that feel more like spas. So, what does it say about us that there's a yoga studio and a CrossFit box on every newly built block? Joining us to answer this question is Perry Stein. She's a reporter with Washington City Paper, where she is in charge of the city desk. Perry Stein, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Also with this is Tom Bros. He is the owner of CrossFit DC. Tom, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And Todd Miller heads the Department of Exercise Science in the School of Public Health at George Washington University. Todd, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
You too can join this conversation. Give us a call at 800-433-8850. You can send email to kojo@wamu.org. Shoot us a tweet at Kojo Show, or go to our website, kojoshow.org. Ask a question or make a comment there. Do you belong to a gym? Is it a traditional gym or is it new and trendy? 800-433-8850. Perry, in a recent article in City Paper, you wrote about the fitness boom here in our region. Where were we before this? What did the gym scene look like a decade or so ago? I'll start with you, Todd.
Well, thank you. I think that about a decade ago, I would say that the primary way that people were exercising in terms of gyms were large, big fitness clubs. And as you said, that is kind of going away, and we're seeing this uprising of specialty clubs, smaller clubs, with more specific offerings. Instead of trying to appeal to everyone, they appeal to a smaller type crowd, and those things seem to be very popular.
Perry, you tried out a number of the trendy fitness programs available in D.C. today.
I did.
Give us a sense of the landscape of fitness programs out there that didn't exist a few years ago.
Yeah, I specifically tried these new boutique gyms, these gyms that cost about $30 a pop, many of them, to just do one class. I did CrossFit, Solid Core. These are all new studios that are really rigorous workouts, and the people that you see going to them are really, largely really fit people, people that are already in pretty good shape.
Are you now largely fit yourself?
I thought I was going into this, but I was at the bottom tier of all the classes that I tried.
Uh-oh. Todd, one notable trend here and elsewhere is toward extreme workouts. There are a lot of programs out there that now cater to those who want to really exert themselves. Can you talk about what fits into that category?
I think things that fit into that category, probably the most popular today, is CrossFit. We've seen that booming in recent years, and I think that if you look at intensity of exercise, it's one of the things that's most effective for getting results. So in general, the greater the intensity of an exercise, the faster your results are going to come. So I think that it makes sense that we see these kinds of things for those people who these things appeal to, which isn't everybody.
Perry, a number of programs out there could be considered extreme fitness. One of the programs you tried out was called Solid Core. Can you talk a little bit about what that entailed?
Solid Core, and I'm not the best with these technical terms, but it was a form of weights that you are on a Pilates-like machine, and you do high-resistance intervals, weights the whole time. It's not what you would think of a fast-paced cardio workout, but you're always moving, you're always lifting different weights on a machine, whether it be with your abs, legs and arms, and you leave feeling sore for days afterward.
I was about to say, and even though it's not a fast-paced cardio workout, it's 50 minutes, and at the end of those 50 minutes, how did you feel?
My legs and muscles that I did not know I had, were shaking most of the time. And it is fast-paced. It's just not like a cardio, running, sprinting type
of class. Did you try it again?
I have not gone again, but I would. I would go again.
800-433-8850 is our number. What fitness trends have you tried and perhaps abandoned over the years? 800-433-8850. You can also shoot us a tweet at Kojo Show. Tom, one of the hottest trends here and around the country is CrossFit.
Yes.
You own CrossFit DC.
Yep.
For those who are not familiar with this, with it, tell us a little bit about that and what the program involves.
Well, it's a mix of a lot of different kind of modalities of training. We have a lot of focus on the technique and development of Olympic weightlifting, powerlifting. So we spend a lot of time fine-tuning how to snatch, clean, deadlift, squat, stuff like that. And we mix it with a lot of other kind of more cardio-ish type activities, combining that into what most people think of as circuit sometimes. So it's a mix of strength and conditioning.
Why are CrossFit gyms known as boxes?
You know, some people refer to it as that. I'm not too into kind of the vernacular of it. We refer to it as a gym. It was originally just that instead of a big, lush place with, like, neon and a front desk and something like that, it was like an industrial warehouse. And it was just a big open box. And then you pulled some rowers in and mounted a pull-up bar to the wall and set it up like that. So from the initial appearance of the kind of traditional CrossFit gym, people coming from the environment of what we'd call a big box gym would come in there and it would just be a box.
We're sitting right across the street from a Gold's gym.
Right.
Doesn't look like that.
No, it's a different look.
You're tired of this question, but many people associate CrossFit with a diet known as paleo. First, what's a paleo diet? And second, are CrossFit and paleo at all connected?
Well, they're connected in the sense that there's an overlap with some people. It's not an official part of what we do. The paleo diet is basically looking to eat more of what ancestrally would have been available, and the theory is that it's you know, our bodies haven't evolved to handle all the processed stuff we have. Some people do it, some people don't. It's not a underlying part of CrossFit necessarily.
Tom Brose, he is the owner of CrossFit DC. He joins us in studio along with Perry Stein. She's a reporter with Washington City Paper, where she's in charge of the city desk. And Todd Miller heads the Department of Exercise Science in the School of Public Health at George Washington University. You can join the conversation. Give us a call at 800-433-8850. Do you Zumba, CrossFit, Solid Core, or Boot Camp? Would you recommend it? 800-433-8850. Perry, you see this growing push. Fitness push in D.C. is part of the overall gentrification here, a rapid change that's come to our region. Talk about that.
Yeah, a lot of people talk about all the new restaurants, the new bars and everything as signifiers as a changing D.C. But you can just as easily look at gyms and the gyms that are popping up, like I called 14th Street just Gym Central. I mean, there are so many gyms on 14th Street opening up every single week, it seems like. And it is wealth. I mean, these are people that are willing to spend $30 a class, hundreds of dollars a month on their fitness. So this is serving a wealthier part of D.C. You look east of the river and there are no gyms like you see.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. But when we think of the gentrification or in some cases just the development of D.C., people are thinking theaters, they're thinking restaurants, they're thinking nightclubs. Apparently, we should also be thinking gyms, right?
Definitely. It's trendy. You see it in New York. You see it in cities where there are young, educated people. And that's the population that these gyms are largely serving.
On to the telephones. Here is Shauna in Frederick, Maryland. Shauna, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi there, Coach. Thank you for taking my call. I was responding to what you were talking about as far as the trends of fitness that are going around. I've not tried CrossFit or not Zumba either, but one of the things that really appealed to me was the trend of pole dancing as fitness classes. I did actually a chair class when I was pregnant because I couldn't do the high-impact cardio stuff that I was used to doing, which was like at a Planet Fitness thing, because I was more like a, you know, get in, get out, do my routine, you know, and move on with life kind of girl. But, you know, I wanted to keep fit, and, you know, as many women can attest to feeling probably their least sexy in the latter months of their pregnancy, I found that doing the chair dancing classes was a really great way to kind of revitalize my sense of femininity and also stay in shape as the months were going by and my tolerance for lots of movement was dwindling.
Perry, is pole dancing still a hot trend? I got the impression that it was a hotter trend before.
Yeah, I hadn't, in my research for this, which was looking at, like, kind of the newest clubs that were opening up, I didn't try a pole dancing class, but I know that there are some that exist, and people still do go to them.
Shauna, are you still going?
I am still here, yes.
Are you still going to pole dancing classes?
Oh, I'm still going. Well, unfortunately, the one that was around my way closed. I see a lot of times on things like Groupon and Living Social deals for the area of D.C. where they do still have these classes. If there was one that opened up in the area, I certainly would do it again. But I thought it was a lot of fun.
Did you also want to say something about catered classes?
Not specifically, just that okay. This was the kind of thing that seemed to represent an appeal to a specific demographic. It was appealing to me as, like I said, a woman later in my pregnancy, and okay. It seemed catered in that way, yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much for your call. On now to Matthew in Roanoke, Virginia. Matthew, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yes, basically I used to do CrossFit and got out of it a couple years ago and have been back at the Y, and actually I miss CrossFit. I want to go back, and I wanted to kind of comment on some of the reasons why I miss it.
Sure.
Really I just miss the direction and the enforced discipline of going to CrossFit, compared to going to the Y. You know, when you go to CrossFit, you walk in the door. Your workout is posted for you. You don't have to think about it. You really don't have a choice. You have to do the strenuous exercise, and you don't really have a choice about it. Whereas you go to the Y, and you kind of poke around, and you go, "Ooh, this feels good. You know, my bicep is getting a workout. Okay, that's good." But at the end of the day, I feel like with CrossFit, I had better direction and better discipline, and that gave me better results overall.
Tom,
and,
do you see that as one of the advantages of CrossFit?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, we think that the benefit of CrossFit spans a lot of different things, but a huge part of it is coaching and community. So you can get really, really fit in your garage with minimal equipment, but it's a lot easier to do that in a setting that's conducive to it. And, you know, from the aspect of if you're doing burpees or rowing intervals or something like that, you're going to go harder and push yourself when you have your friends there, when you're trying to finish before someone, or when your friends are cheering you on. And the other part of it is certainly the movements with a bit of information you can do on your own, but you're not going to excel at them, and it's not as safe working on complex things like Olympic lifting without someone giving you fine-tuned directions. So everybody needs that adjustment and have eyes on them, and that's a big part of what we
provide. I have a challenge for you for our listeners who don't really understand it. Describe a burpee.
A burpee is just standing. You're just going to drop down, chest to the floor, come back up, and jump and clap overhead.
Yes, I had to YouTube it to see what it was. But, Todd, there's also a feeling not only of obligation that Matthew points out here, but maybe a feeling of camaraderie in a lot of these programs. Does that help people stick to exercise programs?
Yeah, there's no question about that. And I think that's one of the best things, probably, in my opinion, the best thing about CrossFit and these other type of sort of very specific type things is that sense of community. We've looked at people who go to regular big gyms, and we've surveyed these individuals, and one of the things that they've all said really helps them stick to their exercise program is doing things with a group of like-minded people who are all heading in the same direction. And I think that CrossFit, regardless of how you feel about it, CrossFit, I think, does that, in my opinion, better than anything I've ever seen, any fitness craze I've ever seen or any trend I've ever seen. So I think that if that in and of itself helps people to continue on with their exercise program, you know, looking at that from a public health perspective, I think that's a great thing, because we need to do anything that we can to get people up and moving.
Some of this extreme fitness involves what in other spheres would be seen as, well, hard labor, hoisting sledgehammers, running 10K obstacle courses. What do you think attracts people to exert themselves in this manner?
Well, there's something, I don't know how to say it, other than the fact that there's something inherently fun about hitting a tire with a sledgehammer that's a lot more exciting and sexy than running on a treadmill. So I think that people like variety, and people are more likely to do things that are exciting to them. And if somebody loves walking on or running on a treadmill, then that's great. That's what they should do. But for a lot of people, these other things that are new and different and exciting, that's what they need to stick to their program. And if they can do that safely and it's effective at giving them results, then I see no reason why not to do it.
Perry, these are also people, many of us, who generally sit at a desk all day long. Perhaps that has something to do with the attraction, you think?
Definitely. It's definitely an outlet for the people that I saw. The people that I met at these classes were, you know, working people who had long jobs and worked really hard. And when it came to CrossFit, I delved into this a little bit in the story, but it is a big social scene. They seem to go out, hang out outside of the gym. So,
and as a friend of mine used to say, speaking of social scenes, he said, I work out so that I can drink. It's because I have to stay in some kind of shape. Tom, you say you can always spot the ex-athletes. How and why do you think they and other people are drawn to CrossFit and other programs like it?
I'm not sure you can always spot the ex-athletes. They're drawn to it. I think a lot of people, we do get people coming from an athletic background, and they find that they're missing that sense of team is a huge thing, more so than the exertion, I think. Working with other people, training for a goal, and a lot of people can find their sport in CrossFit. Most sports that people would play high school, collegiate, there's not a lot of outlet for post-school, and this gives them an outlet to have a team environment, to train for a goal, to work together towards something, and to really push themselves.
In addition to the team factor, I talked with people who were ex-college athletes, mm-hmm. and I was a jogger for 40 or so years, and they always said, it's just not enough. I was used to having a much more rigorous exercise than that when I was an athlete, and so anytime I try to work out now and do the things that just kind of keep me in shape, it's not enough for me, and so I quit.
Sure. One of the things that to me is that, you know, the whole topic is this extreme exercise. It's this new push to extreme. We don't consider this new or extreme. We consider this things that people have done for generations, you know, and it's not extreme. It's just getting away from the concept of easing into it. You know, what you've been basically sold over the last 30 years or so is that exercise can be really comfortable. You know, go in, you just do a little bit of this, you sit on the recumbent bike and read People magazine, and that doesn't make any change in people's lives. I mean, it's better than nothing, but it's the first step above better than nothing. So the, you know, people who don't find what they're anything to motivate them or to get any gain from need to look to something more.
You agree, Todd Miller?
I think I generally agree with that. There's a lot of fitness machines and things like that that try and give you the perception that the activity is relatively easy. And if you perceive the exercise as easy, that's because it probably is easy. And again, being a public health person, we know the challenge it is to get people up and moving. So if it's hard enough just to get them on a treadmill, it's going to be much harder to tell them, okay, now we're going to do something as intense as a CrossFit workout. So, you know, it's not for everybody. But again, I think that I agree with Tom that it's not anything new. It's the kind of stuff that if people were doing as a whole, if society were doing these high intensity types of exercises safely, then I think from a health perspective, we'd be in a much better position.
I'm glad you pointed out about exercise programs that are in fact easy. A lot of programs have long promised big results with minimal effort. that doesn't really work, does it?
No.
this is the reverse of that. You work hard. Does it pay off?
Yeah. The harder you work, the greater the payoff. And that's the difficulty, or at least that's where the challenge comes in, is making the exercises difficult, but not so difficult that you increase the risk of injury to the point where somebody gets hurt. And that's the fine line that needs to be walked.
I think if you're exercising hard and exercising well, as I used to say, I like having worked out because it makes me feel better. But the workout isn't always fun, is it? I mean, it's hard.
Sure, it's hard. I think a lot of people find value in challenging themselves.
Sure.
They find value in exertion. And, you know, one of the reasons I think stuff like this has grown really rapidly in a city like Washington is we have people who are driven people. Their motivation isn't to go sit on the couch and, you know, watch, you know, Law and Order marathon every day after work. They want to push themselves. And that's some of the reasons why they're successful in maybe their professional realms and enjoy what they do. But it is fun. I mean, we want to make sure people enjoy themselves. It's not a sense of dread. When they come in, they might be like, oh, man, this one's going to be tough today. But they're looking forward to it, and they leave feeling great.
Perry, is that a part of the Washington culture, this urge, this pressure to succeed, to do well, because that's why people come here?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely a big component to that. I think that probably if you look at New York, the New York fitness boutique scene, the L.A. boutique fitness scene, I imagine the demographics are somewhat similar in terms of who's using them, in terms of educated, wealthy young people. But yeah, D.C. people, you look at D.C., it's the early classes and the late classes that are always booked the fastest, which suggests that people are working full time and doing it before work and doing it after work and making that a priority.
Got to take a short break. When we come back, we will continue with our fall membership campaign. But after that, we'll be continuing with this conversation on extreme fitness. So if you have called, stay on the line if you'd like to. The number is 800-433-8850. Do you belong to a gym? Is it a traditional gym? Is it new? Is it trendy? What fitness trends have you tried over the years? 800-433-8850. You can send email to kojo@wamu.org or shoot us a tweet at Kojo Show. I'm Kojo Nandi.
Support for WAMU 88.5 comes from Caribbean Cargo DC, specializing in professional relocation services for embassies and international organizations, as well as personal effects to the Caribbean and Latin America. More at CaribbeanCargoDC.com. And from the DC Commission on the Arts and Humanities, presenting the 29th Annual Mayor's Arts Awards, celebrating DC's arts community. October 29th at Lisner Auditorium. More is at dcarts.dc.gov.
Hello, I'm Jad Abumrad.
I don't know. I don't think we should.
Robert, just say your line.
No, don't say.
Come on.
I'm Robert Krulwich.
And together we host Radiolab, and we're coming to you today.
The thing is, it's sort of rude. You know, we don't know them or anything, and they don't really know us that well.
Robert, just think about it, okay? If they're hearing us right now, they're listening. They probably like public radio. They probably rely on it. They're probably even thinking about pledging. So you just do it. They might say yes. Go ahead, please.
I'd like to ask you to consider making a gift to this station.
See, was that so hard?
Do you think they'll do it?
I think they will, yeah.
You do?
Here's how.
It's really easy. Just call 202-885-8850 or make a contribution online at WAMU.org on this fifth day of our fall membership campaign. We have a goal this hour of $10,000, and it is my understanding that we are making good progress toward that goal. But here to help us understand it all better is producer Michael Martinez.
Hey, Kojo. We've made a little bit of progress. We're about $7,000 away. The number to call is 202-885-8850. The good news is that it's totally doable, but we need to motivate a little bit, right? We're not going to get there if we take the sitting around watching Law & Order reruns attitude about all of this. We need to channel some of that CrossFit energy into it. So again, the number to call is 202-885-8850. The website's WAMU.org.
And that's why you're here. Motivate me.
I'm here to motivate you
as
a jogger.
Me and all the listeners who we'd like to contribute.
But what I like about this conversation is even though we're talking about exercise right now, we're talking about so many other things too. And I think that's what I appreciate about this show is that we take all of these different ways that you can explore science, heady topics, the neighborhoods we live in. This is ultimately a conversation about neighborhoods changing in our city, things that people like to do, how certain parts of the city are changing faster than many people are comfortable with when they see a new yoga studio coming in or when they see a CrossFit box coming in. And these are stories that we're not just putting on the Kodjo show every day, but we're also putting on WAMU every day. And if that's something that you value, we need your support to keep on doing it. The number is 202-885-8850, and our website's WAMU.org.
Indeed, this ultimately is a conversation about neighborhoods. One of the things we say at the beginning of the show is that we're connecting your neighborhood with the world, because we do understand that most of you who live in the Washington area make up the bulk of our listening audience, and that you live in neighborhoods. And frankly, you are the ones who make all of this possible. It's you who live in the neighborhoods in this area from whom we get the bulk of our support. It's you who make all of this possible, and you do that by your contribution. So make a call right now, 202-885-8850. It's why we created what was first called WAMU in your ward and then expanded it to Kodjo in your community, because we understand that coming to your neighborhoods is also an important service that we perform. Well, we frankly come to the neighborhood, your neighborhood, every day on the radio. And if you're a regular listener, we're asking you to become a member. Call us now at 202-885-8850 or make a contribution online at WAMU.org. Michael, I heard Diane Reams saying earlier that she is a native Washingtonian, has never lived anyplace else. You too are native Washingtonian. You have lived in other places and root for other professional teams, but that's another story.
But I have to explain that when I started rooting for the Orioles, they were the local team here in Washington.
This is true.
So I just didn't give up on them. I still have love for them. But while we're talking about that, one of the places that you and I both love here locally to do exercise, you're bicycling there all the time, I'm running in there all the time, is Rock Creek Park.
Of course.
And one of my favorite shows that we've done during the past few weeks was when we were celebrating an anniversary of Rock Creek Park. We had Melanie Chukas Bradley, who's written a book about it and written a field guide of the city. We had Scott Einberger on. He's an environmental historian. And when the show was done, my instinct was, I just want to sprint back out of the building and go into Rock Creek Park and run around and find all of these things that were around me every single day that I hadn't noticed. And I think that all of us have moments when we're listening to the station when we hear those kinds of stories that really brighten our day and make us even more curious about the city that we live in. And if that's something that you value about WAMU, we do need your support to keep doing it here day in and day out. The number's 202-885-8850, and our website's WAMU.org.
And we are, of course, located adjacent to Rock Creek Park now on Connecticut Avenue.
It's pretty cool.
Your contributions is what helped us to relocate from our previous location and be next to Rock Creek Park. Your contributions are what allow us to be, period. Without you, we wouldn't exist. We need you both as listeners and as supporters of the station. You're listening right now, so become a supporter. A contribution of $10 per month or $120 per year, which would be a sustaining membership of $10 per month. And as a thank you, we would give you the NPR WAMU pint glass. It's a 16-ounce pint glass with the NPR logo on one side, the WAMU logo on the other. And as I said, that's just our way of saying thank you. What's more important is that you call now, 202-885-8850. Why now? Because now is when our volunteers are here. It's the only reason they are here, to accept your call. So keep them busy. Become a member while they're here by calling 202-885-8850. Or, okay, you can make a contribution online at WAMU.org.
The pint glass is new, too. This is new swag, new membership campaign swag. So you really should get in on this. The number's 202-885-8850. At the risk of going into really, really bad public radio exercise pun mode, I would like to talk
Why even take that risk? But go ahead.
Because I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah, I know, yes.
I'd like
to
talk for a few seconds about how easy it is to become a sustaining member at WAMU. It's a lot easier than burpees. It's a lot easier than hang cleans. First of all, you decide how much money you want to contribute per month, whether it's $5, $10, $15. You call 202-885-8850. You go on to WAMU.org, and you're enrolled. Your membership will automatically renew at the end of every single year. It's something that I do because I know that I would forget. It frees you up to do more things like swing kettlebells or go to Soul Cycle or do power cleans, whatever. So if you're not a sustaining member already, please do so. Please become one by calling 202-885-8850 or going online to WAMU.org, because public radio is kind of like CrossFit for your mind. That was bad.
Okay. You also have participated in some extreme forms of exercise. You've run marathons.
I ran in one marathon. I was a little bit scared of it because my sister-in-law actually signed me up for it as a Christmas present. And I was a little intimidated. It was in the Marine Corps Marathon in 2011. I trained for it. I had a good experience. It's actually coming up this weekend. So good luck to everybody out there doing it. And if you've got enough energy, if you're sitting around tapering, thinking about what you're going to do in the marathon, you could also call 202-885-8850 if you want to distract yourself from being intimidated by that 26.2 miles waiting for
you. And it won't take too much energy. Just use your fingers, let your fingers do the talking. Call now 202-885-8850 or make a secure contribution online at WAMU.org. And thank you.
Check this out. I'm donating $10 a month to WAMU, and they sent me this cool pint glass. The NPR logo is on one side and WAMU is on the other.
Did you know that the pint is a unit of volume or capacity in both the United States customary and imperial measurement systems?
No, but I know it's good for beer.
I'll drink to that.
That's the WAMU NPR logoed pint glass for a donation of $10 a month. Check it out at WAMU.org or call 800-248-8850.
Welcome back to our conversation about extreme fitness. We're talking with Todd Miller. He heads the Department of Exercise Science in the School of Public Health at George Washington University. Perry Stein is a reporter with Washington City Paper. She is also in charge of the city desk there. And Tom Bros is the owner of CrossFit DC. We're inviting your calls at 800-433-8850. You can send email to kojo@wamu.org. Todd, another question that comes up a lot when talking about extreme fitness programs and CrossFit in particular, what about injuries?
Well, as we said, any exercise is going to be more effective the more intense that exercise is performed. And there's a paper that's recently, it's actually in press right now, looking at injury rates in CrossFitters. And the CrossFit injury rate is about the same as it is for gymnastics, powerlifting, and Olympic weightlifting. So, and CrossFit is promoted often as a sport. They call it the sport of fitness. So, like other sports, it has some sort of risk attached to it. Whether or not that injury is something that's going to happen to somebody is really dependent on the preparation that they have when they're doing the activity and how the CrossFit coach who is training them can determine where they are in terms of their fitness levels. And I'm sure Tom can speak more about that. But when somebody begins taking CrossFit, it's really important that wherever they're training, the owners of that gym or the trainers of that gym are able to properly assess where that person is so that injury risk is minimized to as little as possible.
There's a particular injury that was rare but is associated with extreme fitness programs. What's rhabdo, if I pronounce this
rhabdo correctly? That's the shortened version for rhabdomyolysis. And rhabdo is a disorder where the muscles are worked to a point where they are damaged to a point where they start leaking proteins out into the circulation. And those proteins can then go to the kidney and cause kidney failure. It's a very dangerous situation. And it used to be very rare. It used to be that it was really only seen exertional rhabdo in military individuals, boot camp, that kind of thing. It is on the rise, partially due to extreme type workouts. I think the most notorious case in 2011, there were 13 University of Iowa football players who were hospitalized following some intense workouts. They weren't CrossFit workouts. They were just workouts that they were doing with their strength and conditioning staff. And again, it's in the paper that looked at injuries among CrossFitters, there were no cases of rhabdo in that paper. They were all shoulder injuries and those kinds of things. So this is why it's critically important to make sure that the trainers that you're working with are able to scale these workouts to a point where it is applicable and makes sense for wherever that person is at in their fitness level.
Perry, in the program that you tried out, you said you were feeling sore at the end, solid core, but no injury.
No injury, no.
That meant that you were in pretty good shape going in, presumably?
I hope so. We can say that, yeah.
Tom, what about injuries, and what do you do to avoid it?
Well, there's needs to be a focus on progressive approach to it. So CrossFit, certainly we try to find methodologies that have the most kind of impact, the most bang for your buck, because that's what's going to be effective. So at CrossFit DC, we're very focused on starting people off gradually, teaching them movements. We have a six-session course we make everyone go through ahead of time to teach the movements outside of the workout setting, teach alignment, work on them understanding our cueing, so when we give people corrections, they know what that means, and gradually building up their tolerance. We get to know the people. We get to see how they move, correct that. They get to an understanding of what we're looking for, and then as we move them into our general class structure, we make individual adjustments on that. So we do that constantly with everyone. And, you know, one of the things that I've found is that people are always talking about the injuries, the injuries, the injuries. We've had, you know, through hundreds of thousands of workouts we've put people through, a handful of minor injuries. We, you know, the people make it seem like there's going to be like a line of ambulances waiting outside of a CrossFit gym. We don't see that at all. We see a very safe approach. We see people make really good changes and get what they're looking for. There, you know, with anything, there is that risk, and someone could tweak a shoulder or an ankle or something like that. And we've had a few of those, but it's very few and far between.
Before I go to the phones, there's an email that we got from Andrew in D.C. I'm a lifelong competitive athlete, and I'm drawn to the idea of CrossFit because of what your guests say, team atmosphere, coached environment, focus on fitness, etc. But what gives me pause are the cases of severe injury that circulate around CrossFit because of improper coaching and a focus on the ends and not the means. How do you really know if your instructors are fully qualified to coach?
I think a couple things is, one, go in and observe. Ask if you can watch a class. I think generally watch if there's an entry process for people. If people say, oh, you're an athlete, great, jump into this class. You can learn the snatch as you go. No, that's not a good sign. If you're going to do an individual assessment, if you're going to look at what people's capabilities are, their movement patterns, if there's a on-ramp process, I think that's a really good sign. And watch and see. Go to a class and look. Is the instructor working out with the class? Is the instructor go 3-2-1 go and cranks the music and then, you know, gets on their laptop? Those are warning signs. And, you know, if the instructor's focused on the people, making corrections, keeping an eye on everyone, modifying movements as needed, you know, our approach is that we're always active in watching our people and making the adjustments we need. I think that's a good sign.
Todd Miller, there may be new rules around certification for trainers. Can you talk about that and how it might help?
Yeah, I can. There, I will say that the training issue is something that plagues all facets of the fitness industry. There is very little regulation on what constitutes a personal trainer. Pretty much anybody can say they're a personal trainer with really no qualification whatsoever, and that's how the district is right now. But the district has recently passed legislation where anybody who trains in the district is going to have some type of credentialing or certification or regulation. It's just that that has not been defined what that is going to be yet. And that has been handed off, the charge to do that has been handed off to the DC Board of Physical Therapy. So the DC Board of Physical Therapy is going to make a determination as to what qualifications trainers in the district will need in order to work in DC. And I think we are going to see that kind of thing happening nationwide in terms of whether, I'm not sure whether it will be licensure of trainers or educational standards for trainers, but I think that that needs to happen. The major fitness industry players think that needs to happen, and it looks like that's what's coming down the pike nationwide.
Is that something you're in favor of, Tom?
I think that there needs to be a higher standard of knowledge in the general realm of training. I don't see how DC government taking that on is really going to help, to be honest with you. And I'm not sure. There's not any one kind of overlying standard of what constitutes good training, and you're going to have people really pushing for basically what they can provide as an educational service to be what's recognized. So I think a lot of people are going to be really in that for basically what they can get out of it financially and how it affects them, as opposed to what's going to better serve public health.
If you have calls, stay on the line. We will get to your calls. 800-433-8850 is the number. What fitness trends have you tried and perhaps maybe abandoned over the years? Do you Zumba, CrossFit, Solid Core, or Boot Camp? Would you recommend it? 800-433-8850. Perry, what was your experience with Solid Core? Did you find that the person who was assigned to you was fairly attentive?
Yeah, they were. I would say the one thing I was impressed with throughout all the classes that I tried was it was a very personal experience. I watched one of Tom's classes. Everyone knows your name. They're attentive to you. You're paying a lot of money, and all the instructors that I came across were very attentive and seemed to know your background, any injuries you may have, and asked.
We got an email from Jerry in Fairfax who writes, I'm a longtime weightlifter and certified CF instructor. Unfortunately, there is zero quality control for CF trainers. It's an incredibly easy certification. In particular, most CF instructors, not members but instructors, are incapable of teaching and performing the Olympic lifts currently at moderate weights. This is the source of many of the shoulder and back injuries. They are good CF instructors, that is CrossFit, but they are in the minority. Todd Miller?
Well, I think that that's a pretty blanket statement to say. I will say that that is something, again, that plagues the entire fitness industry. You can walk into any big commercial gym, and maybe you'll get a very qualified trainer, and maybe you won't. So I just don't think that we can generalize and say the majority of CrossFit trainers don't know what they're doing. I don't think that's fair.
Well, let's hear from JC in Alexandria, Virginia, who wants to weigh in on this. JC, your turn.
Yes. I just published a book called Learning to Breathe Fire, which is a cultural analysis of CrossFit.
Yes.
And I wanted to make a point about, you know, people saying this is only affluent, well-educated, type A professionals, because what I've seen in my travels is it's what I call a mixture of white collar, blue collar, and camo collar. Yes, there's real estate agents and orthodontists, but a lot of the first adopters are firefighters, military, law enforcement. And one of the reasons it's so popular in Washington, D.C. is there are so many military folks who do this as part of their physical training because that's part of their job.
Okay. Thank you very much for your call.
JC, I really enjoyed your book. I thought it was a great read as well.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call, JC. Perry, D.C. is now the fittest city in the country, at least according to a ranking earlier this year by the American College of Sports Medicine. But as you were pointing out earlier, and I'd like you to expand on it now, this is not spread evenly across the city. Where are we not seeing these new fitness meccas?
East of the river, for one, and in places in lower-income communities in D.C. The ranking has been touted by the mayor and a lot of people. And one thing that I bring up in this article is if this were really about making D.C. a more fit city, you know, decreasing the obesity rates, no one would have really distributed these new boutique fitness gyms the way that they are.
Tom, you would like to cater to a broader range of clientele. What are some of the challenges?
Rent, you know, expenses. Getting a small business started is not that easy, and people look at CrossFit and think, okay, you can have 200 people paying $200 a month. You're making a huge profit. But there's a lot of costs associated with it and building out a place. So certainly getting up and running, you know, the finances to be an independent small business person is not that easy, and I'm lucky I have a couple good business partners that we have been able to make some ground on it. But you need to get up and running. You need to cover your expenses. And that makes it hard to start doing things that generate no income. So we're, you know, always looking to try to help people. We have some people that we know we kind of sponsor as they're not financially able to do it. But it's not something that, you know, we just look at and say, okay, we want to charge as much and rake in the money. Business costs a lot.
We asked earlier, what fitness trends have you tried? And so we heard from Carmen in Bethesda, Maryland. Carmen, your turn.
Hi, Kojo. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just want to talk about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu because that's what I currently do. I think it's a really practical martial art. You basically are learning how to wrestle, so it's kind of a ground game. And especially as a woman, I find it really, really useful. Not that I feel in danger in any way in Bethesda or DC, but I feel more confident that I know that I can do certain moves while on the ground, and I think it's great. I mean, the community is so supportive and so kind, and I know a few of the people in my gym have done CrossFit. I currently go to Lineage in Rockville, so okay. The coach is amazing.
Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Well, Carmen, hold on the line for a second and hear what Jay in Washington, D.C. has to say. Jay, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hey, thanks, Kojo. Big fan of the show. And just to echo what Carmen said, I've been doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for about 10 years, and there's a lot of parallels to the appeal of CrossFit as well, that camaraderie and, you know, the team atmosphere. And it's just a heck of a workout as well. I mean, the self-defense aspect, I almost see that as a happy side effect. I've been training with Capital MMA ever since I've lived in the district, again, about 10, 11 years. And you get addicted not only to the art itself, but also to the community around it. I can definitely see the parallels in CrossFit.
Carmen, how do you feel about that?
I totally agree. there's so much support, especially if you decide that you want to compete in competitions. There's actually so many places where you can go. You can do Grapple Quest. You can do New York Open, Boston Open. So everyone is really into your...
We're running out of time very quickly, but Perry Stein, that's your next assignment, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
I'm in.
You're in?
I'm in, yes.
Okay, look out. Perry Stein will be signing up soon. We're running out of time very quickly, Todd Miller, but there are rec centers all over the city, but those might not take the place of gyms. How important is it, in your view, that there should be commercial gyms in places like Ward 7 and Ward 8 in the city?
I think it's very important because, as we said, exercise is something that's very individualized, and a lot of people like to go to big commercial gyms, and they want to have a multitude of different offerings rather than something very specific. So I think the more opportunities there are for everybody everywhere to get out and find something that they like and that they will do consistently, the better off society is going to be as a whole.
Todd Miller heads the Department of Exercise Science in the School of Public Health at George Washington University. Tom Bros is the owner of CrossFit DC. Perry Stein is a reporter with Washington City Paper who has written about extreme fitness and who now moves on to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. She's also in charge of the city desk there. Thank you all for joining us. I'm Kojo Namdi.
Support for WAMU 88.5 comes from Zuckerman Spader, a national litigation boutique representing law firms and lawyers across the country in legal malpractice suits, ethics investigations, and business counseling. When the lawyer you choose matters most. Online at Zuckerman.com. And from the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra at Strathmore's Sunday Matinee Series, music director Marin Alsop presents Richard Strauss' Ein Heldeleben, A Hero's Life, Sunday, October 26th at Strathmore. Tickets at bsomusic.org.
Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl, the host of Marketplace. It is football season, you know.
395 jailbreak.
And whether you're a New York Giants guy like me or you root for some other club on Sundays, you are always part of the public radio team. So here is your chance to become the hero. Sign up today to become a sustaining member and make sure time will never run out on the news, information, and programs you have come to enjoy. Here's how, and thanks.
How is by calling 202-885-8850, where a volunteer will pick up the phone immediately and pay attention to your needs, especially if your need is to become either a member or a renewing member of WAMU 88.5. This is the fifth day of our fall membership campaign. We have a goal this hour of $10,000. Producer Michael Martinez joins me in studio with an update.
Kojo, we've got about $3,000 more to go on that goal. So hopefully no sleep till Brooklyn was the song we just heard on that promo spot. No sleep until we make goal on this hour. 202-885-8850, WAMU.org. I didn't know he was a Giants fan.
We have about 3 minutes in order to make that goal, so call now, 202-885-8850. Yes, he is not a Dallas Cowboys fan.
guilty. That is a strike against my local streetcar that I am willing to
admit. Was that our home team at some point?
No, but my father is from Texas.
I know this.
And that is the reason why I grew up rooting for that particular football team. But if you'd like to root for this team, you can do so. And we would be happy to have a volunteer take your call at 202-885-8850 or at WAMU.org.
This is the team that brings you 24/7 programming on WAMU 88.5. If you happen to be a listener from Morning Edition in the morning until All Things Considered in the evening and then at night and on weekends, we're asking you to put some money behind that emotion and call us at 202-885-8850 and become a member now. Some people say radio is too old-fashioned, but the truth is it's actually timeless. Radio is immediate, and that's why. To this day, it's still exciting. It's where you can learn something, share something, have a two-way conversation. Your input keeps WAMU 88.5 thriving, and I'd like to talk about that two-way conversation for a second, because on the Diane Reem Show and on this show, that's where you get the opportunity to do that every day. You are not only a listener, you become a contributor to the conversation. It is a crucial part of the conversation. It is as much crucial as becoming a member, which is what we're asking you to do right now. The only thing maybe more important than participating in our conversations is making those conversations possible. And that's what you do as a member by calling 202-885-8850 or making your contribution online at WAMU.org.
And while we're talking about contributing to the conversation here, there is a particular person I want to bring up today to thank and to send off in a way that he deserves, and that's Jared Walker, who works for Bluegrass Country. And we were talking earlier this hour about different ways to explore neighborhoods throughout the city. Jared joined you for a conversation about what dive bars say about neighborhoods in Washington, D.C. a couple weeks ago.
And a dive bar played a crucial role in Jared's life.
Indeed. Yes. He met his wife at the Quarry House in Silver Spring.
That's right.
Jared is a perfect example of what this station's all about. He's been one of the cornerstones of our music programming. He's found a way to make everything here go. He's curious about music, food, sports. He did a series about dive bars that lasted for more than a year on Metro Connection. And hearing with him on the air with you is one of the highlights of my entire year. We're about to lose Jared for public radio in Oregon, where he's going to be doing music programming for Oregon Public Broadcasting out there. But what I want to say is that this station is only going to remain this good so long as there are people like Jared Walker working here. And if we're going to get more Jared Walkers in this building, we're going to need your help with that. 202-885-8850, WAMU.org. And seriously, thanks for everything, Jared.
He has a cheery presence in the station. And one of the things people often don't realize is that in public radio, because we are not commercial radio, people do not come to this because they expect to make large sums of money. They come to it because of a certain dedication to the programming. They're first generally attracted to the programming, and then they want to become a part of that programming. You are already a part of this programming by being a listener. We are asking you to become a more integral part of the programming by becoming a member, by calling us at 202-885-8850. And I used to say in many years in broadcasting before that I'd never worked in a happy shop before.
WAMU 88.5 is your listener-supported NPR news station in the greater Washington, D.C. region. You can support the Kodjo Namdi Show and all the regional coverage you value by becoming a member today. Click the donate button at WAMU.org, and thanks.